Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
My name is Daniel Cazenave. I'm the pastor here at the Bridge Church, and today's a special day because we are calling this a Vision Sunday. So if you're in the room, we are so glad you're here, and if you're listening online, we are so glad that you're listening as well. We believe that God has already been working and has done some incredible things through this church, through the Lowcountry, but we believe He's not done yet. We believe that there is a next phase to go, and so we're going to be talking about that today. So the message is going to be structured a little bit differently. The first kind of half of the message, I want to talk about our vision. I want to talk about what's next. And then the second half, if you're joining us for the first time, we're in a series where we're studying the first six chapters of the book of Acts. And yesterday we talked about chapter 1, and today we're going to finish with the last few verses in Acts chapter 2 and go from there as well. But I want to pray for us before we get there. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 37 through 41. If you find those, we're going to have it for you on the screens, or if you have it on your phone, we'll be there, I promise, okay? Just give me a few minutes and we'll get there. But I want to pray for us, and I want to pray for something specific today. I want to pray because most of Beaufort County starts school tomorrow, right? And our kids are starting, teachers are starting, faculty starting, and it's not the most certain times to start school, right? There's a lot of, with COVID and everything else, and not only just the stress of starting school, but then add that on top of it. So I want to pray specifically for all of our teachers, all of our kids, all of the faculty. I want to pray for parents, those guys who are sending their kids off in during this kind of uncertain time. But we, as believers, know that they're not walking by themselves, that God is walking with them. His presence walks in with them, with the teachers, with those students. And so we're not a slave to fear, but yet we cling to the cross. We cling to the hope that we have in Christ. And so we just want to pray that over our area. So if you'll just join me, let's bow our heads and pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you that we get to worship you. We get to praise you. Thank you for each and every person that can hear my voice, God. We're just praying right now specifically for all of those who are getting ready to start school this week. God, we're praying for the teachers. God, we're praying that you would give them wisdom. God, we're praying that you would remove any kind of fear that they have inside of their heart as they start this new school year. God, we pray that they feel your presence. God, we pray just to hedge of protection over the schools, over the students, God. And I pray that you walk with them every step of the way. We're praying that you guide them. We're praying over the students as they interact with each other and they're walking, God. We're praying that you would just fill them. I pray for wisdom, discernment as they start this new school year, God. I pray that we will see students who have never been leaders before all of a sudden raise up in this time of uncertainty and be the voice of being consistent, God, the voice of hope, the voice of bringing people together. We're praying that this year is a catalyst for that. We're praying over the parents, God. We're praying that you would just relinquish any anxiety or worry, God, that everything the system's put in place, God, that you would be in the midst of that, that you would be in the details. We love you. We praise you. We ask that you would speak to us this morning. You would guide our hearts. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, today, as I shared with you, is Vision Sunday, and I began to think about, as Jason talked about earlier, in a few minutes, I'm going to talk about this puzzle piece, and I'm going to have one for each and every one of you. It's 3 for 3 on there, and so the title of my message today, and the kind of the theme for today is 3 for 3 vision, 3 for 3. So if you remember that, 3 for 3, right? 3 for 3 vision. If it wasn't COVID, I'd have you repeat it back to me, right? But we'll just keep everything tight, right? 3 for 3 vision as we're talking about this morning. And what I began to think about the puzzle pieces, because our family, my family in particular, we love board games. And we have little kids starting at 9. And so they're just starting where they can actually play. And we were playing, it was a version of Monopoly. It's actually Catopoly. Don't judge me, okay? But my wife, she loves cats, and we don't really want cats. So there's a a compromise there, Catopoly. But we're playing Catopoly, and my son is 7, and when he started playing Monopoly, it's like he turned into this real estate tycoon. I mean, he was purchasing everything. He'd land on something, he's like, that's mine, I want to buy it, that's me, give me that one, give me, you know, and he's purchasing this. And then I didn't even have to tell him, he's like, oh, I want a hotel on that, I want a hotel on that, give me a hotel, you know, he's just like expanding his territory, and you don't miss landing on his property. You land on his property, he's like, rent, pay it, let me see it, Dad, I need the money. And so we played all the way through. I was like the first one out, and he loved it. He was like, oh, you want to give me your property? Go, I'll take your property, you know, all these things at 7. It was just funny to see him interacting with those games. But the board games, the reason we love them, one, obviously we're together as a family, but there's some strategy involved. And there's also, with Monopoly or whatever games you may play, and especially for puzzle pieces, it is really easy to get lost in the trenches. You know, if you're playing a game and you're just focused on one aspect of the game, like if you're working on a puzzle piece, and if you're just looking at this one particular piece, it's easy to get frustrated, it's easy to get lost, it's easy to go, well, how's this puzzle piece even go together, right? Like, how am I supposed to expect, I mean, look at this right here, how am I supposed to know what this even is, right? And for me, when I think about vision, sometimes we think about vision as being able to see off, or maybe like the glasses lens. But for us, I believe a better illustration is a picture. That vision is a picture of what could be and what should be. Vision is a picture that we get to look into the future and go, oh, that's where we're going. Oh, that's where we need to go. Oh, that's what God wants. That's what God's scripture says. That's where he's leading us. That's where he's directing us. And just like a puzzle, I'm going to set it up right here. I bought this one because it said bridge on it. Anyway, as we're looking and trying to put these puzzle pieces together, if I'm trying to put the puzzle piece, it's so easy for me to get lost, right? Of going, I don't know how this works. How does this piece play in? How do I play into it? But then when we look up to the picture, we're able to go, oh, okay, I can kind of see there's some coloration there. I can, maybe this piece goes right here, this section, but the picture helps bring some clarity. The picture helps bring some of that forward motion. And one of my favorite kind of themes is a lot of times we don't need motivation, we need clarity. We need to know what that next step, we need to, God, what direction do you have for us? And a great vision we see in Nehemiah in the Old Testament, a great vision is birthed out of a burden. A great vision is birthed out of conviction. A great vision is birthed out of, that's a problem, God, send me to solve it. That's a problem. That's something is wrong there. A lot of times, too, if you're thinking about your life, a lot of times our vision for our lives will be birthed out of pain. Where we look and go, oh, there's so much pain there in my area, but now I want to help somebody who is walking through that similar pain. Now that I have been through it, now that I know about that particular pain, I want to help them in their pain too. And it becomes clear that, oh, how God wants to use us, and he can use that pain, he can use that struggle, he can use those convictions in our heart. And for us, especially now, I believe now more than ever, we need the local church. Amen. Like now more than ever, we need Jesus. Now more than ever, we need to hold up a picture of going, this is what could be, this is what should be. And I believe that God's vision transcends all seasons. Right? Like there, no matter what season we're headed into, there may be a different method in which we go about it, but yet the mission, the vision is still crystal clear. And we have to just, every once in a while, have to put that picture up there. A lot of researchers believe that people forget the vision every 27 days. 27 days to post that picture back up there. This is what it looks like. This is what God's called us to. And when I look at our area and I look at the world around us, and I don't have to convince you of maybe the burden that we may have of people walking in fear, of worry, of anxiety, of I don't know what's next, of this is, I feel alone. I feel isolated. I feel like there is no hope. I don't have anybody to help walk with me in this. Or maybe it's a wrestling. I don't have any purpose. Why am I even here? Who am I? Who has God created me to be? How do I walk in all of that? And for us as a church, we know that that is in our society, but yet here in the Low Country, that there are 119,000 people, that's over 80%, who do not attend a church. And those are people who check the census. And so it's not like, oh, let me just pull some numbers out of the air. That was the last census where between Jasper and Beaufort County, that number of people checked, they have no religious affiliation whatsoever. And so for us as a church, we're saying we want to be a part of that solution. We want to be the answer, saying, God, that's that. We can't sleep at night knowing that people are walking alone, trying to figure this thing out all by themselves. And it's like, I can connect you to your Creator, the one who wired you, the one who knows you the best, the one who can give you hope and freedom. And so as we talk about this, that's where we land. And if we think about what is the picture, what is God calling His believers, His followers to do? And one of my favorite pictures that Jesus gives us is in Matthew chapter 6. And the disciples are following Jesus during this time, and they're kind of leaning in and trying to follow Jesus in the flesh. And all of a sudden they go, well, Jesus, when you pray, there's something's happening there. When you pray, it's like you are one with the Father. Can you teach us how to pray like that? Can you teach us how to pray and be that close with God? And Jesus says, yes. And he goes here, I want to read just two verses. And it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says, when you pray, lift the name up of God. Hallowed be thy name. Your name is holy. We revere your name. You are the one. You are the Creator. And then it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I love that, because Jesus is praying, God, your will be done on earth the way you have it set up in heaven, that perfect plan, that perfect community, those perfect relationships, God. Can you bring that down here to earth? Can you bring your love? Can you bring your grace? Can you bring your peace? Can you bring your will on earth as it is in heaven? And I just look at our area and I go, I want to pray that same prayer. I want to prayer walk every street here in the Low Country and go, God, your will be done on this street. Your will be done at Heritage at New Riverside, right? Your will be done at Cypress Ridge. Your will be done in every neighborhood, God. Bring heaven on earth at May River High School, God. Bring heaven on earth at McCracken Middle School. Like all of those opportunities for you and I to say, God, your will be done. What is your will, God? How do we walk in that? How do we help people bring heaven on earth as we walk in this? And Jesus gives us that picture. And for us, I believe that God's called us to have a specific lane. And so we talked about the vision is what? 3-4? Three, yes. Okay, 3 for 3. And so we're planning, as we're thinking about the next 3 years, I really felt like God laid it on our hearts. And for me, I like to ask questions. So talking to our leadership team and talking to you and praying and saying, God, what direction should we go? Where should we focus in on? Because we could be doing 1,000 things, right? But yet for us to focus and going, what's the main thing, God? What's the thing that you want us to land on? And so for us, there's 3 different layers that I want you to see here. And to set this up, I was actually, the last couple weeks, it was right at Waterfest in Beaufort. You guys know that's kind of a big deal over there. Waterfest over there. And so they were getting all set up, and I was actually in Beaufort for a meeting. And I had a few minutes before a meeting, so I said, let me stop. Let me just kind of prayer walk and just spend some time with God. And so I got it, and I was walking on waterfront. I mean, who doesn't like to pray right there on the river? I mean, that's like the best right there. And so just prayer walking, and I come up, and I'm praying over these. So at this point, I have some clarity on this, and I'm praying over these 3 things. And when I get to downtown and Waterfest, what they do is they bring these big fishing boats. You probably maybe have seen them or went there for a particular event, but they have these big fishing boats. I'm going to show you a picture, because as soon as I saw it, me and God started having a conversation. And so I took a picture of it. I was all excited, and I saw these big fishing boats, right? You see the rig, you see the nets, you see all of these things. They are prepped and ready to go. And I was a little enamored. Like, I grew up in Atlanta, you know, I didn't grow up next to the river, next to all these river boats, all these things. And so as I'm looking all in there, like if the captain would have been there, I would have been like, hey, can I come on? Can you show me how to do these things? And so I'm looking at all of this, and it's like me and the Holy Spirit started having a conversation. I don't know if you've been around a kid in a store before. Have you ever been a kid and they see something they really like? And they're like, they're just all excited. Their eyes light up. And they're like, ooh, 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 right here, right? And then as a parent or uncle or whatever, you just kind of walk up to them. You're like, you want the new bike, don't you? Like, you like the new, it's shiny. It's not, they're like all those things. And so I started having this. It was like that the Holy Spirit was speaking that into my heart. Like, oh, you want a boat, right? Like, I mean, I do want a boat, but not like the boat like you're talking about. So what? As we're talking about this, I began to look at this boat. And I began to look at the church going, wow. We have an opportunity. God, we want a vehicle to serve the low country. Yeah, you're right, God. One of the first things for us is, I want you to show you here, is the Bridge Church Community Center. The Bridge Community Center here in the low country. This is one thing we've been kind of talking about on the undercurrent with some of our people. Maybe they've heard these things. But for us, we want a vehicle to serve the spiritual and physical needs here in the low country. We want people to come in and go, hey, not just on Sunday, because our vision is connecting people to Jesus daily. We want just as many people to come to know Christ on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday as they do on Sunday morning. And so we want a vehicle to serve our community. And so a community center, and if it works out, then our church can meet there, whatever that may look like there on Sunday morning. But to meet the spiritual and physical needs, some of the spirituals is I'm going to talk about a little bit further, so I won't go in detail with that. But physical needs, we know in this area that affordable child care, it's almost insane to try to get your kids into child care in this area. They're all full. There's waiting lists. There's all these different things. And so we have an opportunity. We see a problem. We see a family who is trying to work all of these hours just to put their kids in child care center here. And we want to provide an opportunity. Not only are they going to get loved on, not only do we get to love their family, but we get to invest in that kids with godly community. I mean, I was in student ministry for about 7 years, and some of the most dangerous times for a high school and a middle school kid is between the hour of 3 and 6 p.m. because mom and dad are at work, right? And I'm left to either I'm playing sports or in an after school program, or I'm left to my own self, right? I'm left to do whatever I want to do. And we can create after school programs. We create a safe place for community, a safe place for discipleship, a safe place for kids to come together and be there and be a part of that. We want to produce financial classes for people to come all over the community and go, hey, let us help you how to walk and learn more about your finances, how to take that in, create a budget and plan and invest in all of these things to help train people physically and spiritually. I got a whole list, but we won't have to go on all of them. And we want to take it step by step at a time. But we believe we are called to be an answer here in the low country. And so when I saw that boat, I was like, yes, Jesus, we need that vehicle. That's what we're praying for. And so you're going to see a theme here as we get ready to go. And I'm going to try to preach fast because y'all get me all excited about the vision stuff. And so I got to move quickly. But the two themes is prayer and people. Prayer and people. Prayer and people. And so as you're praying, we're about to go into a season of prayer. All of our small groups that we're launching this fall, we're going to be doing a 40-day prayer challenge. Where we're praying over the things specifically, because I've always wanted to plant a church where people go, God did that. God did that. Wow, God moved. God pulled that together. He pulled the right people. He pulled the right resources. God did that. And we as a church can lift His name up and go, this is what God's doing. We're His servants. It's His will. This is His church. This is His plan that we are called to lay out. This is how He is moving. So that's the first one there. And we're going to have to move a little quicker. And is that vehicle. And then I saw the boat and I was like, yeah. And you need a crew, right? You have to have a crew to sling the nets, to pull everything out, to pull the fish out, all of those things, to know how to work the system. And so I believe that God is calling us. The second one is the crew, to raise up disciple makers and leaders for the kingdom of God. I believe the future of the church is not what we're doing right now, information dump. It's a training ground. It's a training hub to raise up disciples, to raise up leaders. And so that's why small groups are so important for us. It reminds me of a story in the Old Testament where Moses was a leader, and he's leading thousands of people. And he's meeting with people all day, going into the night. He's wearing himself thin. He can't do it all. And his father-in-law comes in, right? Like the in-laws, they know the answers, right? So he comes in, and he's like, Moses, what are you doing? Like this, you can't do this. You're going to kill yourself. This is like not enough. People are getting served. Like you need to put the right people in the right place. You need to put somebody over thousands. You need to put somebody over hundreds. You need to put somebody over tens. You need to put the right leadership into place and be able to create this structure. And so we have a leadership development that we want to help all of our volunteers in. So if you join our volunteer team, we want to help you grow as a leader, because leadership is influence. We want to increase not only your influence, but God's influence through you, through us as leaders. And also, we just had a small group leader training. We want to continue to do that on an ongoing basis so that we have small groups, and then we're raising up new small group leaders who are trained to be disciple makers, who, just like Jesus, walk with him to walk in that. And I love this verse in 2 Timothy 2:2. It says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." I love that. And then the last little piece here of our 3 for 3 vision is that fishing boat, right? We have the vehicle to serve. We have the crew to make it happen. And then what do you need to do? It's time to go fishing, right? Like you got the crew, you got the boat. It's time to be sent out into uncharted territories and going, okay, there are people out there. There are fish out there, so to speak. And not if you don't like to be called a fish, but you know what I'm saying. There are people out there who do not know Jesus. And if we look in our area, Acts 1:8, we just talked about that last week, right? It says that you are called to be my witnesses, right? And he says this moment, he takes it smaller of here, of Bluffton, and then the low country, and then even further the southeast, and then even further United States, and then even further all around the world. We want to be a sending church. When you look at the Acts early church, they sent people out. They were going, oh, there's a need there. We have some people that are trained up, raised up. Let's send them there. They didn't wait for this. Let's just get incredibly huge. We got all these resources that we're sitting on. No, they believed in the power and the presence of God. And they saw a need. And they saw lostness. And they said, it's time to go. We can't sit on that. Our burden is too strong. It's keeping us up at night knowing that they want a life-giving church there, but yet they don't have one there. So how can we as a church be a part of sending people? And so our prayer, we want to have bold faith and believing in God over the next 3 years. We want to send out another campus or another church. We just want to follow God's leading. We have an idea. We used to be at USCB. Maybe it's a Sunday night USCB young adult service on Sunday night where we're serving them, because kids were walking to our church service and there's a need there, right? And so let's create an opportunity for them to come to know Christ. People have reached out to us in kind of north of Savannah saying, hey, we've been driving an hour to your church. Maybe can you guys help us put a church out there? You know, those opportunities, we want to be invited by God, and we just want to step into his plan. And so we want you guys to pray with us as we're praying what this may look like. And as I get ready to shift the message and close here a little bit, you may be asking, why is all this important? Why are we walking through all of that? Why do we have such big vision? Why are we believing God for so much? And as we look at Acts chapter 2, it gives us the answer here. Because as the early church, they're getting ready in Acts chapter 1, God says, hey, I want you to go be my witnesses, but I want you to stop now and I want you to go pray. I want you to wait on the presence and the power of God. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will know. And I want, as soon as you receive that, I want you to start to do work. And we see in Acts chapter 2 what we now call Pentecost, right? It's 50 days after Easter. It's called Pentecost. We see that 50 mark hit. The Holy Spirit comes and it's like a mighty wind. The fire. Imagine sitting in this room. We're praying for the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden the windows begin to shake. The hair begins to blow and people begin to stand up because they're either prophesying, whatever that may be, because the Holy Spirit's on them. And Peter stands up in the power, in the presence of God, in the power of presence of the Holy Spirit, and he walks out the door and into the community, and he starts declaring Jesus' name. He starts preaching in the power and the presence of God. And this is where we pick up here. You guys still with me? Amen. I'm trying to stay on stage. But here we go. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. It says, when people heard this, if you get a chance to go read that beginning part of Acts chapter 2, it's pretty incredible. And how he goes into Jesus is the Messiah. And that our sins put him on the cross. And then he was raised again. And what's great about this is he was like, you've seen him. He was walking around here for 40 days, risen to life. He was with us as disciples. And then he goes on this. And it says, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise, look at this right here, the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them. I love that. Pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accept this message were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to that number. And one day, in the power and the presence of God, 3,000 souls went from death to life. In one moment, 3,000 souls, all of a sudden, the church went from 120 people praying in the upper room to 3,000 in one day going, okay, I've called you on a mission, but that's the power and the presence of God. God can do more in 1 minute in his power and presence than we can do in a lifetime, than we can do in generations. And so as we pray for the power and presence of God, we lean into what God is doing and saying, God, this is your work. And I love that. If you're highlighting, underlining verse 39, this promise is for you. This promise is for your children. This promise is for all who are far off. You and I have good news. We have the forgiveness of our sins. His name is Jesus. We are set free from guilt. We are set free from shame. We are set free from our past. We have a new identity in Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. And God has given us a new hope, a new purpose. You are fully known and fully welcomed into the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ. How amazing is that? And that's for, I love this, because he's saying, it's for you, it's for your children, and it's for everyone who is far off. And you and I have an opportunity to walk in, right? The smile on our, hey, we have some good news. This is why we're praying as people come into the community center. Hey, we have some good news. This promise is for you. It's for your little kid that's coming in. And that's why we do Bridge Kids Ministry, right? Like, this promise is for you. It's for your little kids that's coming in. It's for your mom. It's for your neighbor. It's for your uncle who you think is too far gone. It's for your friend at school who's making all the wrong decisions and you think they've made too many mistakes. Nope, the power of the gospel is for them too. And then he says this. He says that you will receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, that you and I receive the power and the presence of God in our everyday life. And last week we talked about what that power looks like, power to overcome sin, power to overcome guilt, power to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh in our lives, that we have that power that we're experiencing, that we're seeing right here, that we can walk in that, the forgiveness. Ooh, can you imagine a world that lived their life knowing they were forgiven? Knowing that they were fully forgiven. They were fully known by God. And they could fully walk in His power. Can you imagine what the Lowcountry would look like? Can you imagine what May River High School looked like? Can you imagine what the middle school looked like? Can you imagine what our neighborhoods would look like? We would be a beacon of hope for the whole United States, going, whoa, something's going on in the Lowcountry. Like, it's like they believe this gospel. It's like they believe what God is calling them. They have something, and people are going, what is it? What is it? And their hearts are burning. And we say, oh, it's the power and presence of God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the promised Holy Spirit. You can have Him too. you can walk with Him too. And it's through Jesus Christ. And let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you what He did for me. Let me tell you how He set me free. And all of those things we're doing, we're able to help people walk in that truth, walk in that promise. And so as I get ready to close here, and Ken and those guys are going to come back up for our response song, and you look at this puzzle piece. My hope for us as a church is two things. We believe that God is going to use our prayers and our people to accomplish this mission. I believe that God's going to use our prayers and our people. And so in the back there, we have, it's normally our offering table where you can give your offering or drop your Connect card in there. But on that table, there are puzzle pieces that say 3 for 3. I'd love for each and every one of us to take one of these and put it maybe in our pocket, maybe put it in your car, maybe put it on your desk at work. And it's just a reminder of going, okay, these are the three specific things that we're praying for. We're praying that God would give us that vehicle to serve the community with the Bridge Community Center. We're praying for God, as He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send the workers. And so we're praying into that. God, send us the people. Raise leaders up. And as people come to us, one of the biggest heartaches I have is that if there is somebody hungry to grow in the Lord, I want to be right there to train them up, to walk with them. You want to keep me up at night knowing that somebody wants to be discipled and there's nobody there to disciple them. And we want to be that people that are there going, hey, let's walk with this together. Let's do this together. And then the last one is we're praying, God, show us where You want us to go. Show us the right, send us the right leaders to send. Raise up the right leaders to go, God. We believe Your message and this promise is for everyone. And we want to help people see that. And so prayer and then also people. We can't do this without You. God's plan, His power and His presence is through the local church, and the Holy Spirit working through us. And so I would love, as you can see maybe on your printout there, you can see maybe some next steps. Maybe you want to take a next step in our church. Maybe you just want to start getting plugged in. Or maybe you're saying, hey, I want to be one of those leaders. I want to be raised up. I want to help serve maybe in kids or greeters or tech or whatever that may be. I want to be a part of this mission. I want to be a part of this plan. We are making a commitment to walk with you, to train with you, to help raise you up. Or maybe you want to say, I want to be a disciple maker. I just don't only want to attend a group. I want to start to learn how to be a disciple maker. I want to answer the call of the Great Commission of saying, go, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we get to walk in that. And so whatever that may look like, that's my prayer, is that we would pray to God that He would work, that He begin to put the right pieces in place, and then also the people, that we begin to pray ourselves of going, God, how do You want to use me? What piece do You want me to play, God? What part in the bigger picture do we want to play in what God is doing here in this area? So I want to pray for us. First and foremost, if you heard this in Acts chapter 2, and you hear that repent, be baptized, that you receive the forgiveness of your sins, if you've never given your life to Christ before, I would love to talk with you today. I'd love to pray with you today that to know that you can walk in that you can have the promised Holy Spirit, that you can have the forgiveness of our sins and our past to walk in freedom and the hope in Christ. I'd love to pray for you and with you today. But also just as a church, we're going to pray. We're going to lean into this together. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You so much for this opportunity. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You for Your power, God. Thank You for everything that You're doing in the midst of this hard time in America and around us, God. God, and I know there's a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, God, and I pray that You would equip us to be a beacon of hope in this time of uncertainty. God, I pray that You would fill us. I pray that it says in Your word, God, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God, and I just pray that over us, pray that over our church. God, I pray that You would speak to us. I pray that You would burden our hearts, that a great vision first is birthed out of that burden, birthed out of that need, God. I pray that You place those needs on our heart. God, I pray that You would continue to heal us, shape us, God. I pray that maybe there's somebody in the room of saying, I need to be discipled first. God, I pray that they will begin to pray, to jump into one of our small groups, God, to be discipled, to walk in God's word, to walk in God's truth. God, I pray also that you raise up leaders to change the world through the gospel. God, I pray that you speak to our hearts. We believe your word. We believe that this promise is for each and every one of us, for the next generation, God, for all those who are far from you. I pray that you use us for your glory. I pray that we lean into the Bridge Community Center, God. I pray that we lean into raising up leaders, and I pray that you would send us out to change the world, God, to connect people for Jesus. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.